Today we have a news story based on a veteran old-time radio show. It's Candy Madsen in The Case of the Flattened Fifth, written by John Greenway.
American Radio Theater presents.
Yukon 28209. Yes, this is Candy Madsen.
It's San Francisco, 1949, and it's time for another case from the files of Candy Madsen, America's foremost female radio detective. If you didn't know already, when Candy left the modeling business after the war, she had some expensive tastes, not to mention a flat on Telegraph Hill to maintain. She's done all right as one of the few female private detectives in San Francisco. Though she prefers clients who write her checks with extra zeros in them, it doesn't always work out that way. But let's let Candy tell us about one of those, The Case of the Flattened Fifth.
Well, that morning I was making my second cup of coffee, except it wasn't for me. Who? Oh, well, I thought you knew. My guest was Lieutenant Ray Mallard of the San Francisco Police Department. I think it's fair to say my detective skills had played a role in his recent promotion, so I got out the burr grinder to fix some Arabica, since I had to wean him off Folgers if the relationship was to survive mornings. I was just rinsing out the coffee press when the phone rang. Candy Madsen.
Candy, this is Fran Daniels. Listen.
Fran Daniels, how are you? It's been forever. You know, I've been hearing good things about the Stardust Club from some of our friends from USO days. Do you remember that bass player? Oh, what's his name?
I can't chat, Candy. I want to hire you either to find a missing person, my vocalist, or sing tonight at the club.
What? You want me? Now, slow down, Fran. You know I don't think until I finish my first cup of coffee. Okay, take it from the top. Now, you want me to find or sing?
We're getting a review from the Chronicle tonight.
Well, that's wonderful, Fran.
But my vocalist, Mindy Martin, has disappeared.
Okay, so now, do you want me to find her, or... Just a minute, Fran. Mallard, stop that.
Want to know what I was dreaming about?
No, I don't, but I can guess.
Oh, Candy.
Mallard, can't you see I'm on the phone?
Well, hang on.
Mallard, this is an old friend of mine, Fran Daniels. I sang at her USO during the war. She runs the Stardust Club down in the Fillmore District. Her vocalist has gone missing, and she wants me to find her. And not only that...
I'm going to take a shower.
Well, you do that. Sorry. Okay, Fran, I'm back. Now, I missed the last part. Now, you want me to sing tonight? Well, I thought you wanted me to find Mindy Martin. That'd be a lot easier than navigating body and soul after all this time.
The reviewer's Rick Thompson. He's important. If you can't find Mindy, I'll need somebody to sub for her. Do you still have the dress? And you owe me a favor. Remember the creep who didn't like your pianist? Oh, and can you get in touch with him in case you can't find Mindy?
Oh, yes, indeed, I remember Rick. And yes, I still have the dress. And with a little help, I might even be able to still fit into it. Look, Fran, you don't need to call in the you owe me one, Bill. I'm going to take the case just for expenses, because I want to see your club make it. Bebop's ruining music, and that stuff at the Red Drum, well, we need the standards. And yes, I still keep in touch with a pianist. His name is Rembrandt Watson. I thought you'd remember him, though he's a photographer now. You know, he has an apartment right near you. I'll tell you what, I'm going to ring him up and we'll come by this morning. So just calm down, Fran, and then you can tell me the rest when we get there. So I'll either find Mindy or we'll fill in for her.
Come as quick as you can, Candy. And I'm sorry to be so on edge. It'll be good to see you again.
So, like a lot of women after the war, Fran Daniels was having to make it on her own. She had run a USO club while her husband Mike was in the Pacific. She was good at it, and not everybody was. She paid her bills and, more importantly, her musicians. Rembrandt and I had done some regular piano bar gigs for her, and, well, when Mike didn't make it back, Fran took her savings and what money she had coming and opened the Stardust Club in Fillmore. You know, I had heard good things about it, and, well, I'd been meaning to drop by for old time's sake, at least. But after I decided to get out of the modeling business in favor of my own private investigator shop, well, you know how it is. Well, anyway, the thought of getting behind a mic again appealed to my vanity, and the thought of a missing persons case appealed to my purse. So I wheeled my red Chrysler Roadster over to Rembrandt Watson's. He lived close to the Stardust Club, as it turned out. Rembrandt had just moved to the Fillmore area into a flat whose light accommodated his photography career and whose kitchen accommodated his culinary talents. 9 o'clock. Rembrandt might be making a sauce, but wouldn't be into it yet. As I went up the stairs, a scrawny little weasel coming down shoved me aside and almost knocked me over. I rang the bell.
Candy Dove, I'm so glad you called. I don't know where to begin. This is terrible.
Rembrandt, just calm down and stop pacing and tell me what's the matter.
It's my African violets.
African violets?
Can't you see? They're perfect.
Rembrandt.
Oh, here, have a glass of Vauclicquot and look. Just look at these perfect plants in their window bed.
Well, I wasn't one to pass up good champagne as a rule, but I didn't want to start this early. Besides, if Rembrandt and I were going to do a set at the Stardust Club that night, I needed him to be able to tell the white keys from the black ones. So I passed, and thankfully, so did Rembrandt.
Oh, that dreadful man.
Which one? Not Frederico, surely. I thought you were over him. No hasta la bye-bye?
What? No, no, Candy. The one who was just here.
You know, I might have passed him on the stairs. A scrawny little rodent.
Exactly. Candy, he threatened me.
Your violets?
No, no. Well, in a way.
Rembrandt, focus. Now, what's the matter?
Well, as you see, this morning light is just perfect for them. I was just setting up for a test photo when the doorbell rang. I thought it was you, of course.
Of course, but it wasn't. So who was it?
Oh, it was somebody from the redevelopment agency. They've engaged this firm to, oh, how did he put it? Modernize the area by bulldozing places like this and putting in nasty little cold water apartments. Get rid of the undesirables, I believe he said. That, I took it, meant me and my violets.
Like they did with the Japanese in 42. Yeah, I'd heard about that.
If I don't sell to him in 2 days, the building will be condemned. Sell, he said, or else. And then he shoved me. Shoved me! I'll have to move, and my violets will wilt. Oh, I can't tell you.
Tell you what, Rembrandt. Just calm down and come with me to police headquarters. I'll have Mallard look into it. Something is a little fishy here.
Oh, and you think Son of Kong will do anything but grunt and stomp around? Really, Candy?
Now, Rembrandt, don't be catty. Lieutenant Mallard was at my place when I called you this morning.
What was he doing, delivering the paper? Oh, no. Surely he didn't.
Fix coffee? Nope.
Oh, I could smell the testosterone over the phone. What do you see in a slow-witted quackpaw who solves his problems by pointing a gun at them?
I could do worse, Rembrandt. Admit it.
Oh, yes, indeed, because you have done worse. Remember your electric guitar gigolo? Bebop, dissonance, flattened fifth chords, half-diminished chords. Dreadful instrument, the electric guitar. And you had no better sense than to...
Can it, Rembrandt? We have a case.
Oh, of what?
For Fran Daniels. Remember her, USO? She wants us to either find a missing vocalist, Mindy Martin, for her Stardust Club down the street, or sub for Mindy this evening. A reviewer from the Chronicle's going to write up the club, and if the evening goes well, Fran says the club might be in the black this year. But we need to, one, talk to Mallard, and two, get down to the Stardust Club and rehearse with the band, and three, get a lead on Mindy Martin. Bring your fake book and the keys we used at the USO. There's a house band with trumpet, drums, guitar, and bass. Usually Fran does piano, but she knew that you and I had worked together, so besides, she needs to butter up the Chronicle guy.
What Chronicle guy?
Rick Thompson.
Rick? Oh, he won't be difficult to butter up.
Rembrandt. And my dress. Remember the aqua strapless? Well, it's in your steamer trunk. And Hopefully, I think I can still fit into it.
Hall closet, dear. We'll pick it up on the way out. I'm sure it will fit. I took very good care of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. All right, let's go, Rembrandt. By the time I parked the Roadster in Mallard's parking spot at police headquarters, he had already had a busy day. Unfortunately, that day involved Fran Daniels and Mindy Martin, as I found out when I entered his office. Rembrandt waited in the car. Mallard, long time no see. Sweetie, I need you to look into an outfit that's doing demolition in Rembrandt's...
Sorry, baby. It'll have to wait. What was the name of that friend you were talking to this morning? The one that runs the...
Oh, Fran Daniels. She's been trying to make a go of the Stardust Club since Mike died, and she wants me to cover for a missing vocalist tonight.
Name of Mindy Martin, by any chance?
How did you know that? You don't follow jazz, and your record collection stops with Eddie Arnold.
I don't follow jazz, but I do follow corpses, and corpses do seem to follow jazz these days. You're Mindy Martin. It was found dead this morning in Japantown.
What?
Heroin overdose. A lot's been moving in recently. Sorry, Candy, but the music scene's become a lot nastier since you were a USO songbird. Your musician friends aren't content with a few puffs of marijuana anymore. They're going for hard stuff, and some sleazy characters are willing to help them.
But Mindy would never do anything.
It takes women down faster than it does men and hits them harder. Sorry, Candy, but it gets worse. Sit down.
For once, I did as Mallard directed.
When you mentioned Stardust Club this morning, the name rang a bell. I didn't want to say anything at first until I checked. We think your friend Fran Daniels might be using the Stardust Club to pass heroin to customers. We got a tip from inside.
What? Mallard, that...
Quiet, Candy. She's been on the edge financially, but recently the club's been doing better. A lot better.
Oh, well, yeah, she got a new chef and better talent, and Mindy was voted new star vocalist in Downbeat last year.
But patrons of the Stardust Club have been able to pick up heroin there. We know that. What we don't know is how Daniels is getting the stuff in. We had an agent go undercover last week. She called from the club the day before yesterday to say she had found out...
Wait a minute. She?
Yeah, Candy. The agent's name was Mindy Martin.
For once, I was speechless. I blanked. When my mental radio tuned in again, Mallard was talking in that grim, controlled cop voice he has when he's really angry. Now, angry not at a person, but at crimes that take hostages. One of the reasons I love the guy, I guess. Now, he was saying...
Candy, are you listening?
Huh? Sure, Mallard, I was just...
What did I say?
Okay, you got me. I was in shock. I mean, I've known Fran since college, and Mindy Martin had everything going for her. Musicians know about these things. I mean, Mallard, I'd swear that Mindy was clean.
Well, I know about these things too, Candy. So we're going to shut down the Stardust Club, and you're going to help us. Maybe Mindy used to be clean, but now she's clean dead. Keep the appointment with Fran Daniels, but keep your eyes open and your mouth shut. Be on your guard. Use your .38 if you have to. We need to stop this now. And, Candy?
Yes?
I'm sorry she's your friend.
I was going to make a lame joke to Mallard about going undercover for him, but thought better of it after looking at the expression on his face. So, thoroughly miserable, I returned to the Chrysler in a petulant Rembrandt Watson. On the way over to the Stardust Club, I filled him in on the whole sordid mess. Oh, Rembrandt, I just can't believe Fran Daniels could be mixed up in passing heroin and murder. I mean, sure, times have been tough for her since the war, but I...
Still, Candy, dear, your ballistic boyfriend has a point, much as I dislike admitting it. The local music scene has become much more violent since our day. The cacophony of what do they call it, old bebop, has a nastiness surrounding it that makes prohibition seem innocent. It's given degeneracy a bad name.
Yeah, I know. Nobody dances to jazz anymore. I miss it, Rembrandt.
Your turn to focus, love. You just drove past the Stardust Club.
What? Oh, so I did. The club really is just around the corner from you, isn't it? I was just thinking about Fran and Mindy Martin. Okay, I'll pull in here. Oh, would you be a dear and take my dress and the sheet music backstage to the dressing room? I need to talk with Fran. The Stardust Club looked like all jazz clubs during the day. You know, kind of sad, if you know what I mean. Chairs up on the tables, cigarette butts sticking up from ashtrays like cartridge shells, or else floating in what was left of last night's watered drinks. Acrid, stale air. Rembrandt wrinkled his nose in disgust, idly tapped on the hi-hat symbol of the empty trap set, and eased over to explore the bar. I found Fran's tiny office in the corner by the coat room. She was just putting down the phone when I opened the door.
Candy! Candy Mattson! Well, you haven't changed a bit.
I must have, Fran. I'm still alive. Do you mind if I sit down?
Of course not. Oh, and there's Rembrandt Watson there by the bar. I see he hasn't changed. I hope he still plays the piano. Tell him he can help himself.
Yeah, he already has. Rembrandt's making a name for himself as a photographer, but still plays a little. You know, he just moved into a flat around the corner from you on Pine. We've both improved our taste in boyfriends in the last few years. And
glad to hear that, Candy. Anything serious?
I'm afraid you're about to find out, Fran.
What do you mean?
Well, I can't chat about old times now. My current swain, Lieutenant Ray Mallard, will be dropping in today with a squad of fellow officers from the police narco division. They're going to come down hard on you, Fran. They might even close you down. Heroin's been traced to the Stardust Club.
Oh, no.
You know, I shouldn't be giving you this warning, but, well, I'm in the middle here, and I don't like it. You know I'd like to help you out, and I will if I can, but you've got to level with me about two things.
Of course, Candy.
Okay, Fran, I want you to think hard before you answer. You know, I know we go back a long time, but if you lie to me, and I'll know if you do, I'll turn you like a flapjack and I won't cry about it until later. Okay, first, are you passing heroin to your customers through the Stardust Club?
Oh, Candy, I know something awful's been going on, but I've been so busy trying to keep the club above water that I don't get out of the office. It's been tough going, sure, but the club's been a little into the black recently, and...
How? Look me in the eye, Fran.
No, not that way. First, I hired a good maitre d' named Carlo, who redid the menu, and he brought in a good chef. Then I brought in good musicians, young people on their way up, but playing music people of our generation like, you know, standards, swing tunes. Carlo helped with that, too. He brought in a trumpet player, Ray, who shaped up the house band.
Go on.
People began coming for the food and for the music. One set of easy listening dining music, then two sets jazz. I had just booked Mindy Martin, new Star Award from Downbeat magazine, and had the reviewer from the Chronicle set to come tonight, but Mindy didn't show up last night for rehearsal. Nobody's seen or heard from her. That's why I called you. If you can't find her, can you and Rembrandt do the dinner set? We're booked almost full. I was going to back her on piano. What do you mean, I'll pay you scale if that's what you want, plus expenses as agreed, even your usual fee if the take's good tonight.
That's not the problem, Fran. It's Mindy. She hasn't been heard from, but she's been seen.
What do you mean? Seen by whom?
By Mallard, at the morgue.
What?
She's dead from a heroin overdose, which Mallard believes she obtained at the Stardust Club. Now, what do you know about it, Fran? If you hide something from me, you won't hide it from Mallard. I saw that look in his eye.
Candy, I swear. She showed up, auditioned with the band. I signed her, gave her an advance for a room, then waited for her to show up for rehearsal with her lead sheets. Nice kid. Straight. She even passed on a drink with lunch. Look, we've both seen jitterbugs, Candy. She was clean.
I want to believe you, Fran.
You have to.
No, I don't. Did Mindy do anything, like, well, unusual while she was here?
Well, no, unless...
Unless what?
Well, she made a phone call after she went backstage. She seemed upset.
That fits with what Mallard told me.
Mallard?
Mindy called Mallard yesterday. Yeah. Okay, Fran. Mindy Martin was an undercover narcotics agent working on the poisoning of the Fillmore jazz scene by heroin. You would have lied about the call if you knew, but you didn't. So I am inclined to believe you, even if Mallard won't. But Mallard wants me to find out what's going on here, and the last link on how some customers are picking up heroin at the club. And that means I'm going to take Mindy's place in both roles. So let's get this rehearsal going. Rembrandt needs to work with a trumpet guy, Ray. I'll pry him away from the bar, and you can just...
I'll let Carlo know. On stage in 15... And Candy?
Yes?
Thanks.
Well, Carlo, as it turned out, was every bit the jewel Fran said he was. He showed up with Ray, the trumpet guy in tow, took coffee, cream, and sugar packets to the kitchen, then posted the instructions for the cooks. Finally, he ran a sound check and did some pretty decent riffs on the guitar. I've personally never cared for electric guitars, frankly, but they're a help if you don't have a pianist, which at the time I didn't. Rembrandt, having gone wherever Rembrandt goes when his son goes over the yardarm, still...
Oh, Miss Mattson, I'm so glad you could help us out tonight.
It's Candy, Carlo.
Oh, Candy, yes. I was devastated to hear about Mindy Martin. Oh, who would have thought her to be a junkie?
Yeah. So what do you think happened to her, Carlo?
Well, the shrinks call it performance anxiety. I believe I heard her arguing with Ray over his use of the mute on Body and Soul, and then she went to the dressing room and slammed the door. I guess she did what addicts do. Poor girl.
Yeah.
At any rate, I'm certainly glad you can help out Miss Daniels tonight. It'd be a shame for her to lose the Stardust Club. I'd hate to think she's involved in illegal activity. I must say
what?
I think Mindy Martin might have discovered something, irregular in Miss Daniels' office.
And?
Much as I respect Miss Daniels, I haven't been able to help but notice some, shall we say, unusual aspects to her cash flow.
Such as?
I can't say any more right now, after rehearsal. Oh, but I'm so glad you're here.
Well, with that, Carlo gave me an odd hug. Now, I've been pawed by lounge lizards before. In fact, that's how Mallard and I met. Not that he was doing the pawing, you understand. But his left paw took out the jaw of some sleazeball that was my hero. Oh, I digress. Where was I? Then Carlo said something that sounded like a pickup line.
You know, Candy, I feel like I've seen you before.
You sure do, Carlo. Now hands off and let's get on stage. But he was right. I had seen him before. But where? At Mallard's? Another undercover officer? And later I realized he wasn't just copying a feel, but patting me down right where I had my .38. I almost had the connection when Rembrandt rushed in, fake book in one hand and a sherry glass in the other.
Oh, Candy, there you are.
Well, I haven't been any place else, Rembrandt. But I can see where you've been.
Who'd have thought that a jazz club would have a bottle of Oloroso?
Yeah, I thought I smelled hazelnuts. Good vintage.
Oh, Candy, sherries don't have vintages. Didn't you know that? Or has hanging around that hooch-guzzling flatfoot eroded your taste in potations as well as in men?
Knock it off, Rembrandt.
Oh, I'll do just that.
Now put the glass down and look at the fake book. Okay, what's our first number?
All the things you are, A-flat. Ray, our trumpet player, is competent with it, though it does have 5 key changes. There's something the matter with his mute, though. He went to the dressing room to switch it.
Well, better now than later. Oh, there he is. Let's get through this set. So we end with Stardust, key of F. Well, the rehearsal went pretty well, considering. I was even able to fit into the dress, although Rembrandt had to help me with the hooks and zippers. But he's done that before. The songs were all standards, none of this new oop-bop shabam stuff. It was like old times at the USO. Carlo even sat in on guitar. And as much as I hated to admit it, an electric guitar could almost sound like a legitimate musical instrument. Well, sometimes. Fran looked out from her office, and I thought I could see the hint of a smile, almost like old times. Almost. Now, if you're thinking this is too good to be true, you're right. Rembrandt went back to the dressing room, probably to finish off the Oloroso and press his tux pants. I wanted to have another talk with Fran before the club opened for the evening. But wouldn't you know, here came Mallard. You know, there are times I think Rembrandt is right about him. Well, he headed for Fran's office, and I didn't want anything to do with him right then, so I went to the kitchen to think things out. Not surprisingly, there was Carlo, preparing the coffee maker and filling the little Stardust Club packets with sugar for customers who wanted the club's Café Deluxe. A nice touch, that. I guess it was better than matchbooks. I didn't mean to startle you, Carlo.
Oh, not at all. Not at all, Candy. Can I help you?
No, I'll just have a soda. We'll just let some carbonation work on the pipes. Do you have any knee-high?
Would a Clico Club do?
Yeah, that'd be fine. So, rehearsal went pretty well, I thought.
Yeah.
And you do pretty well on guitar. Good passing chords.
Thanks. You know, I heard Charlie Christian once when he was with Benny Goodman.
Oh, you did? And where did you meet Ray?
In L.A., a few years ago. We did a few sessions together.
He does well with the Harmon Mute. Hey!
What?
Oh, there it is. That's Ray's mute. He was looking for it. Here, I'll take it back to the stand.
Put that down.
Why? And then I caught a sweet whiff I remembered from my most recent encounter with the emergency room when a cute intern pulled a .32 slug from my left thigh. Just as the kitchen dissolved, I felt a sharp blow above my heart. I tried to say, "Damn it, Carlo, you'll ruin the dress." But somehow I just didn't care about anything. Fade to black.
We'll return to Candy Matson in a moment. But first, this message from DuPont. Candy wants to remind you, ladies, that men and nylons are not as scarce as they were a few years ago. We're all glad for both to be back, of course, but Candy makes sure that the curves of her legs aren't marred by ugly seams. Whether she's on a case or a date, Candy, along with a growing number of women here and abroad, chooses new DuPont seamless nylons. No more looking in a mirror to see if your seams are straight. Just enjoy the unmarred beauty of your legs and let him do so too. For nighttime sophistication, Candy opts for the new Midnight Smoke Shade. But whenever she goes out, she always wears sheer DuPont nylons. Nylon, remember, gives you something extra. She may catch you looking, guys, but that's all right. Catching people is her game. So let's return now to see if Candy can catch the killer of jazz singer Minnie Martin in the case of the flattened fifth.
I'm looking for Fran Daniels.
Look no more. And you are?
Lieutenant Ray Mallard, San Francisco Police Department.
Oh?
I have a warrant to search the premises. Nobody enters, nobody leaves.
And the reason, if I may ask?
Don't be coy with me, Miss Daniels. We have good reason to suspect that you not only pass heroin from the Stardust Club, but may be implicated in the murder of Mindy Martin. We don't know how you do it, but I'm going to find out. You stay here.
But we're about to open.
Don't count on it, sister. If we find what I think we're going to find, your Stardust Club is concrete dust, and your next gig will be rock music. Get me? And where's Candy Matson?
Backstage, I think. Why?
She may have found out the last piece we need to put you away, Miss Daniels. I'll be back in a minute. Don't leave the premises.
Where would I go?
Miss Daniels, might I have a word with you?
Carlo, I need you on the floor. The place is beginning to fill up.
Doesn't matter, Miss Daniels. Please, sit down. I have a business proposition for you.
If you're asking for a raise, I can't afford it. But if we get a good review tonight,
you won't. The police are going to close down your Stardust Club and arrest you for passing heroin. Oh, yeah. And as an accessory to the murders of Mindy Martin and recently Candy Matson, both dead due to an overdose of heroin while preparing to perform at your club. It's been happening a lot these days with these jazz musicians. The police aren't looking the other way anymore. It's too bad, Miss Daniels.
What? Not Candy. She was just fine. Who are you anyway, Carlo? Another undercover cop?
Oh, no. I'm your solution, not your problem, Miss Daniels. Your problem will soon have a face, a badge, and handcuffs in the person of Lieutenant Ray Mallard, who will, how do I put it, zealously pursue his investigation of customers purchasing heroin on your premises, especially when he finds the body of his lady friend done in, alas, by the same insidious narcotic that has caused so many artists to self-destruct. Oh, it's a scandal, a real scandal. Your Miss Matson is in the kitchen if you want to check. Oh, and my name. It isn't Carlo, by the way, not that it matters.
Well, whoever you are, if you're behind all that's been going on...
Me? Oh, my dear lady, I'm shocked. As I mentioned, I'm here to offer you a solution to your problem, so I'd advise you to be nice and sweet.
What do you want?
Me? Nothing. I, however, represent some investors in real estate interested in cleaning up the Fillmore District. Along with the city, they see the necessity to rid the area of, shall we say, degenerates before demolition. But unlike the city, they will offer you one half what you paid for the property, less closing costs, of course, if you vacate within a week.
What? That's robbery.
Better robbery than murder, Miss Daniels. The alternative, as you'll find out quite soon, will be the official closing down and condemnation of the Stardust Club, as well as a lengthy prison sentence for you.
I get it. Black.
Wait. Don't use such an ugly word, Miss Daniels. However, as an incentive to sell right now, if you do so, I can arrange for all the evidence, including the lovely corpse of Candy Matson, to disappear by the time the police get here. Just sign here. And here.
What else can I do? Oh, okay.
Oh, good choice. Think of it as a business decision, Miss Daniels. Oh, and is that Lieutenant Mallard I hear?
Okay, Miss Daniels, I still don't know how you're doing it, but who are you?
Oh, I'm just Carlo, the waiter, sir. Miss Daniels and I were discussing the evening's arrangement, weren't we? And what it would take for them to go smoothly. Isn't that true, ma'am?
Yes, it was.
So if you'll excuse me, I'll just take these menus and I'll tidy the place up a bit, if you know what I mean.
Lieutenant, have you seen Candy?
No, Rembrandt, have you?
I've been looking all over. I know.
Know what?
It's the Café Deluxe.
What?
Oh, it's a special coffee we offer, Arabica with imported sugar.
Except it isn't. I assumed the sugar would be Chinese brown, but when I opened the packet with the Stardust Club lettering to make sure, I found it wasn't sugar at all.
Heroin! Okay, everybody, hands where I can see them. You may recognize this 38, Lieutenant. It belonged to the late Candy Matson.
What? Candy! Why, you...
And I availed myself of it, just in case. Back against the wall. Well, it looks like the Stardust Club may have to have a terrible fire this evening. It'll probably start in the kitchen. Doubtless an accident, started by the intoxicated Miss Matson, causing her demise, for that's where they'll find her body. A heroin injection right into the heart, as was the case with Miss Martin, who, snooping in the kitchen, had the same result. Massive heart failure. At least the neighborhood will be open to development free from the jazz dope fiends the redevelopment agency so deplores. This door locks quite securely, safe being in this room. So here is where they will find what's left of you. And now, if you will excuse me...
And this guitar is for the dress, Carlo.
Oh! Candy!
Thank you.
worst hangover I've had since VJ Day.
Well, I thought you sang admirably, considering. I could hear a band when you sang Stardust. Miss Daniels seemed to enjoy counting the proceeds, and the interview with Rick Thompson appeared to go well. Rick sweetened the tip jar with a bill that will fund another bottle of Oloroso, which I will savor whilst ministering to my violets this evening. And, Candy, dear?
Yes, Rembrandt?
I cannot imagine a better demise for an electric guitar.
Good night, Rembrandt.
Okay, Candy Matson?
Yes, dear?
How did you do it?
Do what? Rembrandt solved the mystery. The trumpet player was bringing in the heroin inside his mute. Then Carlo would fill the would-be sugar packets with the stuff for customers who ordered the Café Deluxe. And when I picked up the mute, I saw what was in it. Carlo panicked and chloroformed me. Ouch.
But they weren't really interested in selling heroin.
No, the people Carlo works for just wanted the properties and Fillmore condemned so they could buy them for nothing. That's where I remembered Carlo from. He was leaving Rembrandt's as I was coming up the stairs. He had threatened Rembrandt much as he was threatening Fran. Get the real estate cheap, not pay fair price, and then sell it to the redevelopment agency at a big profit. Carlo was the one who phoned in the tip about the Stardust Club. But when Mindy caught him in the kitchen, he had to get rid of her.
Raymond. His real name is Ramon, by the way. Was just a mule running the stuff in from Mexico. But he knows enough to incriminate Carlo. And Carlo, I suspect, will be willing to turn the people who hired him to avoid a murder one rap on Mindy Martin. But, Candy.
Yes, Mallard?
Hal, I thought you were the heroine to the heart. I mean, how did you...
Oh, you were worried? How sweet. It was the dress. You don't know what body armor goes on under these things, Mallard. You can ask Rembrandt. Ask him about last New Year's Eve. But this dress is a Dior, darn it. Now it's ruined.
Huh?
Well, the stab hurt, sure, but the hypo got stuck in the boning. The heroin was absorbed by foam rubber.
I still don't get it, Candy.
And I hope you never do. Now, Mallard, you get the hardest job of the day.
What's that?
Getting me out of this dress.
You've been listening to an American Radio Theater original production of The Case of the Flattened Fifth, written and directed by John Greenway and based on the original old-time radio series Candy Matson, Yukon 2, 8209. In our cast, you heard Beverly Washburn as Candy. Bob Hendrick played Rembrandt Watson. David Maddox was Lieutenant Ray Mallard. Anne-Marie Mara played Fran Daniels. And Ivan Curry played Carlo. Original music composed and performed by Chad Rennie. Live sound effects by Marilyn Wilt and Lee Delaney. Additional production assistance by Joy Jackson. Sound engineering by Doug Collins. I'm your announcer, Aaron Hiles, thanking you for listening and inviting you to join us again next time. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some old-time radio music.
We bring you the Life Boy program starring Al Jolson with Park Dukakis and our special guest stars Gail Patrick and Connie Boswell with Lud Gluskin and his orchestra. And now, friends, we bring you Broadway's own favorite son, back from the gay white way that first gave him his fame, our star, Al Jolson.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now, for my first number, I picked a tune that I believe is one of the most melodic of the current season.
As Ben Burney would say, so help me. And the title, well, it just spoke for itself. So, Lud, play So Help Me.
help me. May I never see the moon so high. May I never see the stars close by. So help me if I don't love you. So help me. May I never know a breath of spring. May I never hear the little birds that sing. So help me if I don't love you. And if I lie, then rain should fall from heaven and blight each day with its teeming. Night should never bring sleep with its dreaming, sweet dreaming. Oh, so help me. May I never see the sight of you. And without you, what am I to do? So help me if you don't love me. May I never see the moon so high. May I never see the stars close by. So help me if I don't love you. May I never know a breath of spring. May I never hear the little birds that sing. So help me if I don't love you. And if I lie, then rain should fall from heaven and blight each day with its teeming. Night should never bring sleep with its dreaming. Sweet dreaming, ah, so help me. May I never see the sight of you. And without you, what am I to do? So help me if you don't love me.
Heine?
Yes, Al, what is it?
Heine, isn't Parker Carker supposed to come on here right after my song?
Parker Carker? Say, I'm sorry, Al, I forgot all about it. Parker left you a note this morning.
Yeah?
Now, maybe that'll explain his lateness there.
Let me see. It says, Dear Jocelyn, the early bird catches the worm, but who needs worms? So I'll be a little late tonight. If you want me in a hurry, you can call me at the Roxy, but I won't be there, so you can try the Capitol because I'll be at Minsky's. Tiny, how do you like a guy like that? He knows we have a broadcast and he goes to shows. Why, that careless, thoughtless, scatterbrained, good for nothing, Tiny, I'd like to wring his neck. Here's some more letter. P.S. You wouldn't say that if I were there. Tiny, look. We've got to teach him a lesson. Lock the door and don't let him in.
I'm sorry, Al. I'm afraid it's too late. That sounds like Park Your Carcass coming now.
How do you like a guy?
Hello, Jackson.
Now, listen.
What?
Parky, you know something? Sometimes I get so mad at you, I don't know what to do. But yeah. Then I take a look at that innocent puss of yours and I melt. Now, tell me, where were you till now? Come on, tell Jolie. Why haven't I seen you all week?
Well, Jackson, I'll make a long story immaterial.
Yeah?
You see, I've been very busy campaigning for the coming election.
Now, wait a minute, Parky. What do you know about politics? Do you know how to get votes?
Oh, sure. I know how to handle all the messes.
Really?
Yeah. After all, don't forget, I'm one of the common people.
Yeah?
Of which I am the most common.
But, Parky, look, I didn't know you dabbled in politics.
Oh, sure. My whole family is politicians.
Yeah?
You know my brother, Harish?
Yeah?
He's an assemblyman.
An assemblyman in the New York legislature?
No, he's an assemblyman in the Chrysler automobile plant. But my older brother, Kaporis.
Kaporis?
You know, yeah.
Kaporis.
He's a political taxidermist.
Now, wait a minute. A political taxidermist?
Yeah.
What does he do?
He stuffs ballot boxes.
What? Yeah.
But my uncle Dimitris.
Dimitris?
Yeah, he's in politics, too.
Oh, really?
He's got a restaurant in Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C.?
He feeds all the congressmen and all the senators.
Yeah?
That makes him Secretary of the Interior.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Parky. I know your uncle Dimitris. I really do. I eat in his restaurant. Now...
Yeah.
I don't want to say his food is bad, you understand?
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's bad, but, Parky, I couldn't digest it.
But he's got a new system now.
Really?
Yeah. With every meal, he gives everybody a small magazine to read.
What good is that?
That helps the reader's digest.
What?
But listen. My cousin Gregorius is that a politician?
Gregorius?
He's running for an office, and you know, Justin, the first thing he did was to hire 25 stenographers.
25 stenographers? What kind of a political office needs 25 stenographers?
He wants to be a dictator.
Oh. Yeah.
And listen, he's going to do something. Listen to this. That kid is going to do something bigger than all the other dictators put together.
What is he going to do?
As soon as he's elected, he's going to give the whole world 24 hours to get out of town.
Oh. Well, Parky, we don't have to worry over here. You see, this is the greatest fortified country in the world.
Yeah.
The Atlantic to the east, the Pacific to the west, the Rio Grande to the south, and the St. Lawrence to the north. What more do we need?
We need more boats. We got plenty of water.
Well, and wait a minute, Parky. Speaking of politics.
Yeah?
Come here. This is off the record.
Yeah?
Now, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But, who are you supporting this year? Who are you supporting this year?
Same as last year, wife and eight relatives.
Oh, no. What I mean is, what party do you like?
Oh, I like a party where I eat like a horse and then go home.
You don't understand. I'm referring to a political party.
Oh.
For instance, the elephant represents the Republican, and the donkey stands for the Democrat.
Oh, I know what you mean. The emblem of my party is the reindeer.
The reindeer?
Yeah.
What kind of a party is that?
A stag party.
What?
Yeah.
Well, party, look, let me explain to you with something.
Yeah.
Come here. Now, look, in order to get into politics, you've got to know how to deal with people. You must be able to make yourself understood to the average man. That's very important. For instance, what would you say to a layman? Now, what would you say to a layman?
Hello, Governor.
Goodbye, Parky. Get out of here. One of the most popular singers of modern songs is a little Southern girl with a personality and style all her own. She's with us tonight, so let's say hello, Miss Connie Boswell.
Hello, and thank you.
Connie, what number are you going to do first?
Well, I figured I'd sort of come at you with a pretty little piece called Lullaby in Rhythm.
Well, we're right here listening, Connie, and come on at us.
Lullaby in rhythm, dream your dreams and wander with them. Evening drums will come and take you through the night. Tune the lullaby in rhythm, all the breezes sigh in rhythm. Rest my love, let nothing wake you till the light. Now stars dance while the evening shadows creep. Mr. Moon Man's gonna take you up high when you do sleep. Hear my lullaby in rhythm. Dreams, dreams, I wander with them. Sandman's gonna come and take you. Oh, good night. Go to sleep, my baby, baby. Good night. Oh, hear my lullaby in rhythm. Dreams, dreams, and wander with them. Evening drums are gonna come and take you. They're gonna take you through the night. Tune the lullaby in rhythm. All the breezes sigh in rhythm. Yes, my love, let nothing wake you till the light. Now stars dance while the evening shadows creep. Mr. Moon Man's gonna take you. Gonna take you right to sleep. Hear my lullaby in rhythm. All the breezes sigh in rhythm. Sandman's gonna come and take you. Oh, good night. Oh, rock my baby in the treetop. Stop playing, the wind blows. Declare the wheel rock, and if the bob breaks, declare the wheel fall. Down will come your baby and your cradle and all. Oh, rock goodbye. Oh, rock goodbye. Oh, rock goodbye. Oh, tuck your toes in. Time for a dozing. Baby, good night.
Honey, that was swell, and I know our own Martha Ray is listening in tonight, and I'm sure she thinks so, too. The way you sang that was really something.
Oh, shucks, twern't nothing.
Oh, twer too.
Oh, twern't. Definitely twern't.
Well, if you say twern't, it's twern't. Well, have your own way about it, O'Connor. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a beautiful young lady visiting us, who for the last 3 or 4 years has played featured roles in over 30 Paramount pictures. Outstanding among them, If I Had a Million, My Man Godfrey, King of Alcatraz, and just recently she completed a Paramount special called This Bard. So without further ado, folks, I want you to meet Gail Patrick.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, Al.
Hello, Gail. Gee, it's swell to see you again. Honestly, every time I lay eyes on you, you look more beautiful. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your eyes. And then again, maybe it's the way you wear your clothes. And then again, maybe it's just you. I don't know.
Well, I must say that's a very pretty speech, Al. How do you like the dress I have on tonight?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was designed for me in Hollywood. It's Anita's head number.
Anita's head number?
Mm-hmm.
And all the time I thought it was a Whistler.
A Whistler? What kind of a dress is that?
Well, you just take one look at the front and take a peek at the back and you go...
Oh.
You know, Gail, I just wonder what our grandmother would say if they could see the styles of today.
They'd probably say, hooray for our side. Well, don't you remember when our grandmothers used to wear 6 or 8 petticoats for no reason at all?
No reason at all. Now, I don't know about that. Did you ever sit down on one of those old-fashioned horsehair sofas?
No, I've never had that experience, but I get the point.
Yeah. Well, so did Grandma. But anyway, now that we're on the subject of grandmothers and styles, I understand that the hoop skirt is back in vogue.
Yes, in a very flattering style it is, too.
Well, it may be flattering, but it certainly isn't practical. Imagine what would happen to one of those hoop skirts if a stiff breeze suddenly came along. A fellow would turn around to talk to his girl, only to find that she had gone with the wind. Which she's the only actress in Hollywood who has not been tested for the part of Scarlett O'Hara.
Thank you, folks. But you know, Al, deep down in my heart, I feel a little hurt about that.
Why?
Well, after all, I am from the South.
Are you all sure enough from the South, honey child?
Yes, so you sure said a heap, Colonel Joseph.
Why, you don't mean to tell me, baby mine, that you is a Georgia cracker.
Oh, no, sir. I is a Birmingham, Alabama corn pone.
Well, shut my mouth and listen, honey. Don't fret. Because you all are going to have your chance to play a role as great as Scarlett O'Hara. And right here and now. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to present a Yankee version of a one-act Southern drama entitled She Was a Southern Belle, But She Didn't Ring True. Curtain, light, and music. Oh, Scarlet! I mean, Crimson. Crimson, where is you all?
Here I am, Pappy. I was a-fixing you a fresh mint julep.
Well, that is one of the things that I was aiming to ask you, gal. What y'all been putting in these here juleps lately?
Well, it's this way, Pappy. We ran out of bourbon, so I've been a-spiking them with horse liniment.
Horse liniment? No wonder every time I see a bale of hay, I break into a trot. Well, that wasn't a bad joke, honey child.
Personally, Pappy, I think it might have been a mite more amusing if you'd have said I break into a canter.
Canter? Never say that name on this program again. Shame on you, honey lamb. Shame on you. But look here. Ain't you been acting mighty queer late? What's running through your poor little head?
I'm in love, Pappy. And he asked me to marry him.
My little daughter in love. Why, old Pappy can hardly realize it. Of course, I knew it had to happen someday. But it only seems like yesterday. It only seems like yesterday. I like the way I say that. I think I'll say it again. It only seems like yesterday.
that I watched you bud from your teens into the frail blossom of innocent womanhood. And now, like a bolt from above, my little gal's grown up. This young man that you're in love with, is he well-to-do?
No, Sir Pappy. His wages are mighty small.
Well, I guess that don't make no difference. Do you know what I was getting when I got married?
No, Sir Pappy.
Neither did I until it was too late.
That's him now, Pappy. I know he's not.
Come in, stranger. Crimson, sweetheart, I love you.
Darling, I adore you.
Oh, kiss me, my sweet. Oh, kiss me again.
Jack, wait.
Again. Just a minute, stranger. Ain't you kind of overacting the part a little bit?
Oh, but Father, he can't help it. Look at his romantic face.
Yeah. Isn't he the picture of emotion?
Yeah, and don't forget, the motion pictures are your best entertainment.
Father, I want you to meet the man I love, Rhett Bungler.
I got the last name, but what is the first name again?
Rhett.
I thought I smelled a rat.
Father, you're forgetting your southern hospitality.
Why, you was right, Crimson. Pull Mr. Bungler and then Julep.
But, Pappy, we ain't got nothing left but horse liniment.
Well, give him a swig. He may put some horse sense in his pumpkin haze. Yeah, Mr. Bungler.
Yeah?
Drink hearty, sir.
Well? Oh, thank you, Colonel. Well, here's mud in your eyes.
How do you feel, Mr. Bungler, after your drink? Well, now that you've tasted of my hospitality, sir, might I be so bold as to inquire who you are?
I have come here to ask for the hand of your daughter.
The hand of my little daughter?
Yes.
Well, before I give my consent, I must inquire. Are you a gentleman from the South?
No, I'm a Yankee dipsy doodle dandy with a hey flugy flugy and a floy floy.
Well, I'll have none of you Yankee ilk around these here premises, Mr. Bungler. Do you all realize that my daughter's been raised on the bluegrass of old Kentucky?
Well, if she marries me, she'll have to change her diet.
Sir? No man can talk to me that way.
Do you all realize that my daughter's the belle of the South?
Listen, your daughter may be the belle of the South, but I am the belle of the North.
You, the belle of the North?
Yeah, just what do you mean you all is the belle of the North?
Well, believe it or not, I'm the good humor man.
For the radio audience, will you kindly sing Avalon?
No sooner said than sung. Lud, let's have it. I found my love in Avalon.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please visit our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. Hey, see you next time.